Good morning, church. Oh, afternoon, potentially. Good morning, afternoon. I'm not going to be giving a preach, just to reassure everyone here, but I just felt it was, again, I'm absolutely wowed by how our young people have spoken just now, the power of how they spoke, what they've said, and I'm just almost like we are all, as leaders, I'm sure, proud parents, seeing how they've grown, all they've learned, with a slight nudge from us, not saying any of that was from us, because they've definitely done their own work. So just well done to all of you. Just wanted to say that again, that you should be speaking. Yeah. Just in case anyone won't know who I am, I'm Chyla, as Ramsey said, one of the youth leaders here in The Rock. And I just felt it would be nice to give a vision of our youth group that we run every Friday here downstairs, when occasionally we do leave the building and do other things together. But I felt just to give you an idea of how us as leaders have met with all the elders, how to chat through what we want for our youth, and what we hope youth group can be, and what it hopefully is already. So like I said, it's not a preach, but I just want to give a clearer vision of what we do. And hopefully you can see that it's not exactly what we want. We don't just choose what we want to do on a Friday. It's what the Bible says church should be, what we hope church is for the youth as well. So before I go any further, I just want to say very quickly, a favorite theologian of mine said the good way of public speaking is say what you're about to say, say what you want to say, and then say what you've just said. So I'm just going to say what I'm about to say. I'm just going to touch briefly on four main areas of our vision as youth leaders, is the encouragement of our young people for saving faith, having that idea that we are adopted now to a family, the church of God, and then also the ongoing topics and studies we do together. And then finally, all of this is propelled by prayer and us as leaders following who the Holy Spirit's leading. So those are four main areas I'll touch on very briefly. So if you can, please turn to Ephesians chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, and I'll read it here myself. Before we do read through, I just want to set some context to what I'm about to say. In Genesis, we believe God created the world, yes? And it was good. And he gave man one rule, do not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Man sadly spurned that law and sin entered that world through that one man, Adam. And now every single person, man and woman, who were born of man and woman, sorry, and now has that sin within them and is in that place of rebellion towards God. So I wanted to set that context before we read. I'm just reading Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. So, and apologies, I will be looking down a lot because I've made some notes to make sure I stay focused. So if I do look down, with this context, to see where we all begin, that we are all born in this sin, unless we have true saving faith in Christ and believe in him, we have no hope. The ultimate consequence of this sin is the wrath of God, as we read, and that wrath is shown fully in hell. But as we've also just read, God, in his mercy and his great love towards us, he sees us in our spiritual death, and he makes us alive together with Christ. Through his Spirit, and this is all the unmerited favor of God, the grace that we know. Now, as I mentioned before, we as leaders always encourage ourselves and the young people on our Fridays to examine yourselves, to see if you be in the faith as Peter says. And we do this, I'll come back to this a bit more, I'll touch on something else, that the fact that once we are saved through faith, once we are believing in Jesus Christ, we are now adopted into this new family, into the church of God. And that's the next part I wanted to talk to, the church family. We as leaders hope that our youth group, for all of you young people, is a place where you feel you are with family. You feel that joy you can find nowhere else. You feel belonging in the church of God. And you almost feel you don't want to miss a Friday, that you have that fun where we have our games, whatever we do, that you come to a family and have this together. And it's from that place of being a child of God that we behave the way we should, not the other way around. I think sometimes we can go too far to think the way I behave makes me a child. But all of you parents here, all of you children, all of you have had mothers and fathers will understand you're part of this family because you are. Your parents don't turn to you and say, oh, you don't act like this, you act like this. You are their child, regardless of how you behave. And it's from that place and security of knowing you're a child that you behave the way you should. And just want to quickly read through Ephesians 5, just to exemplify this again. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words or because of the things the wrath of God has come upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try and discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So if we as leaders and young people as the church claim to have this saving faith, then we should be seeing that our behavior is actually reflecting this. As we've read there, our lives shouldn't be in everything we do, the games we play, as I said, in the type of media we consume when we're alone, in our thoughts, in our traditions we follow. We should be set apart. We should be holy. And again, this is something we as leaders always try and exemplify in our youth and on a Sunday morning. And we make it clear this is all through God's Holy Spirit, nothing that we do in our own strength. For some people, this change in our behavior could be instant, could be a dramatic change in their lives. Whereas others, it's a more gradual change over years, over months. But importantly, again, it's by the same Holy Spirit. So I challenge you all, as I challenge myself, and as many of the young people have challenged you this morning, is this something you see in your own lives? Do you see that reflection of your change over time becoming more like Christ? As I said, I challenge myself all the time. And as we said now, examining ourselves in this way leads to the next part of the mixture of topics and studies we do on a Friday. We believe that what we believe matters as much as why we believe what we believe. Again, if you have your Bibles, very briefly, I just want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and read verses 13 to 17, just for context here. So from 13, now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your heart, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile you for your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Many, if not all of our young people, I'm sure today, as you've already said, have to deal with a world today that says, well, our knowledge, our human, if you want to say accomplishments, have surpassed the wisdom of the Bible now. So everything you've been taught, the Bible says, our world is now past that. We as men, we're smarter than that. We know more than that. And sometimes we find we have to focus on specific issues they might be struggling with. If it is the bullying they might experience, sexual struggles in their own lives. the wars and injustice we even see now in this week. There's too many to list. But it's not for the sake of head knowledge. Don't get us wrong. It's for the sake to say, actually, I know what I believe. And I know that this book here has wisdom that surpasses all that we experience and all that we go through in this life. And we also highlight what the Bible says through our own lives. All of us leaders, I'm sure, will say that God has brought us through and is bringing us through many things, which we say as a testimony to the youth to say, listen, we have been where you are. As parents, you've probably said many times, I have lived the life you have lived. I have been a teenager. The things you say are new. They may express themselves differently, but we know what we've been through. Just to let them know that God is faithful to what he says. As we sang earlier, from generation to generation, he is faithful through all things. And we also follow ongoing courses like Youth Alpha in the past. And this, again, helps encourage discussions, as we do in our growth communities, I'm sure. Because there are many questions that we all have, as well as the young people. And lastly, and as I said, the fourth thing, just to lead on from these discussions and these ongoing studies, is all underpinned by prayer and the Holy Spirit. Like I said at the start, we leaders don't just teach what we think is a good idea. We make sure to say, Lord, what does your Bible say about your church? How do we grow as Christians? How do we become more sanctified? And through that, we then, schedule or plan our studies around that. And I'm just going to read again very quickly, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 to 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped in every good work. Like our Sunday services, we pray and always hope that our Friday nights are filled with the joy of fellowship, as I said before, and encouragement and the rich indwelling of the word of God. Now, in case you missed it, like I said before at the beginning, I'll just reframe it with the story of Lazarus in the tomb. Lazarus, as he was dead in that tomb, he had no power of his own to come forth from that tomb. It was only through the power-filled word of Christ, Lazarus come out, and that he actually came from that tomb. In the same way, it's only the power of the Holy Spirit, as we said before, that can result in true saving faith, leading to our immediate justification, now made righteous, as we heard again one of our speakers say. The adoption into God's family, as I already mentioned, that should be a place of joy, of fellowship. And through that, we are sanctified, becoming more and more like Christ, exploring the Christian faith through topical and ongoing studies. And eventually, as we continue to trust and rely on the Holy Spirit, leaving this life to be glorified with him in the end. It is such a joy serving with the amount of leaders we have here who each, I can say, testifying personally, have such a heart to invest in our young people. And we learn so much, as I'm sure they can agree, exploring these different topics and different experiences with all of you young people. Trust me when I say, we learn so much from you as we hopefully invest into you as well. And I want to say, each of you, again, speaking to you now, young people, if you've not, you've clocked out, listen back in. The joy we have in investing in you, experiencing the nights and the events we have to you is really, truly a joy. I just want to make you all know that personally. And so right now, I just want to finish again, like I said, not a preach, but it's gone on for a bit, with Paul's encouragement to the church to Ephesus, as a hope, not just for our youth group on Fridays or Sundays, but for our church as a body as well. And it's Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it itself builds itself up in love. The person and work of Jesus Christ is central to all we do and all we do on a Friday. So I just want to thank you all for having listened to me there. Again, I rattle through quite a lot, but it's just to give you an idea of what we do on Fridays, our heart as leaders, and to see that we want it to be church for our young people as they experience on a Sunday morning. So thank you again for listening to me. Thank you.